Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang podcast, episode 360. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, I'm back.
And Phil Wilson.
He's back. He's bad. He's nationwide.
That's right.
Back, that's right. And I didn't get to tell my Prince story.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, let's hear it.
No, I don't have a Prince story. Oh. It was funny because I was listening to the podcast and you said, well, everyone that's lived here for a while, we've lived here almost 20 years, has a Prince story, you know, some close encounter or whatever. And I was thinking, you know, I have zero Prince stories.
Huh.
So it was good to hear your Prince stories, though.
Well, you're not hanging out at Paisley Park like we are. So
Yeah, I know. No. But how was Minibar?
Minibar was good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Once again, like 1,200 people, do you think, Phil?
Oh, yeah, probably somewhere in that general vicinity. Didn't seem as crazy as years past, but maybe it's just because they're getting this down pretty well that it moves pretty smoothly. So great sessions. Did you check out any sessions that are a highlight for you, Steve?
Well, I think one that was pretty amazing was Terry Ross, who did one on travel hacking.
Oh, interesting.
And she got up there and she was talking about how she has accumulated 750,000 miles.
Wow.
By taking out credit cards. And she had this whole spreadsheet and she went through exactly how to do it. I was fine with it until she got to the point where she was talking about how she's done even more cards because she has 5 family members' social security numbers and has taken out cards and their names and stuff. And I thought, no, I'm not doing that. but she had some good strategies. I mean, if you want to do, in fact, accumulate some miles, you got to really pay attention. But I just thought it was an interesting session. It was packed.
Good.
Huh.
So, good. Yeah. How about you? I was able to catch a session on Generation X's and dealing with your Generation X boss, or you know, sort of a look at different generations and some demography discussion about the types of people that are Gen Xers and those that are millennials, and of course, me saying, well, what about us baby boomers? And I found out what this particular demographer, and I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, I could look it up, but talked about how baby boomers tend to actually relate better to millennials than Gen Xers. Not our, you know, not our immediate generation next to us. So I found it really interesting. It was a good time. So you had left by then, Steve, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Well, I also spent some time out looking at the electric cars. And had some great conversations out there, and it was nice to see the $150,000 Tesla model. Gosh, what model is that? The X? Yeah, the X. Yeah. The gullwing doors, and it was pretty cool.
Very nice.
Wouldn't let me take it out for a test drive. Damn. Anyway,
yeah. It's because you didn't have your checkbook with you, I'm guessing.
Well,
can I put this on a card?
Right. Yeah.
But you went to you're gearing up for GlitchCon today, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so what it is it's an event at the University of Minnesota at McNamara Alumni Center, and it's pretty much driven by students. And one of the leaders is a PhD student in gaming and game theory and all of that. And it's and so last night was the opening, and they had all local game developers showcasing their wares. I met a couple of publishers, local ones, that publish video games. And, you know, it's really to bring together makers, doers, and people that are thinking deeply about digital games. And I have to tell you, I had some of the most amazing conversations I've had just packed into an hour or two. And my son, Alex, wants to get into gaming, obviously, when he graduates and in the fall, and so he it was just like I honest to God thought I was listening to somebody speak a foreign language.
Really,
I had no idea because these guys are so into all this stuff and these references, and I thought this kid is like 10x the geek I am.
No, that can't be.
Oh my gosh! So
not possible.
So the keynoter today is the co-creator and programmer of the Oregon Trail, if you remember that from MEC, Minnesota Educational Computing Corporation back in the day.
Kicking it old school. There you go.
Yeah. Well, he's been involved in the biz for 35 years. So
we'll look forward to hearing more about that next week from you, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. And then
love the glitch.
So there was this story. Tim, did you find this one about MakerBot?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
MakerBots, they're not going to make 3D printers anymore. And I got to tell you,
they're going to China.
Yeah.
Like everybody else.
My wife is so sad about her Stratasys stock purchase a while back.
Ouch.
And she was so excited. She thought MakerBot was going to be a huge boon to them. And of course, it hasn't been.
And it hasn't been. And she now blames you because you said, hey, this is probably some interesting stuff.
No, she's not blaming me. She can blame me for lots of other stuff, not this one.
Okay.
But it is kind of dismaying because remember what buzz there was about this and they were so excited about it?
Yep.
I still think the acquisition. It's that whole concept of where's the market for that sort of thing. I don't know if there's a consumer market for it, kids. Just not happening.
Yeah,
well, no. You know, in some ways, you look at everything that we're involved in now, and, you know, Phil, you used to have a Palm Trio, so did I, the Trio 750.
Yes.
I thought that was, I loved my Trio 750 until the iPhone came out.
I still have it, actually. But
yeah. I have the 650 still.
Really?
Yep. Huh. I think it still works. I haven't turned it on in many years, but
okay.
Yep. It's in a drawer.
Yeah, well. Same here.
I loved mine. Anyway, but you think about how far we've come, and that's kind of how I felt when I saw MakerBot at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. I saw one of the they have this whole setup there, and I looked at it and I went, you know, it's cool, but I would actually want to make something really useful rather than just a trinket or a toy. And we're a long ways away from having that capability where it'll be like a replicator on Star Trek. Not that I'm expecting that, but you know what
I mean. Wait a minute. Is he going to mention it?
The holodeck?
Is he going to say it? There you go. It's our monthly reference.
Should have a drinking holodeck. Game run off when we talk about the holodeck.
I knew he would tell us more. So anyway.
I do that just for you, Phil.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. So. I live for that sort of thing, you know.
You too.
Yeah.
So anyway, interesting story about the sale of FPX.
Have you guys ever heard of this company?
I had not.
Firepond is what they used to be called. Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they've been around for 30 years, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
So
I'd never heard of them until just this very minute. So
they get sold. So they've been around for 30 years. They have 75 employees. They're doubling. They were just sold to a private equity firm, and then they're going to double their staff in the next 6 months.
Right.
What are they cooking up over there?
Well, they've morphed into a big data play. So they've got all this predictive analytics stuff. And, that's really what it's all about. It's about making smart use of your data. And they've been in the enterprise space now for quite some time.
So this would be a good story for Graham to talk about if he were still here.
Yes.
You sure. Probably know all about them.
But yeah. I think this is a kind of an interesting example of a company that they're a startup. They started a business and they didn't have a 5-year exit plan. They just started a business and they went about growing their business and you know, running their business, and well, 30 years later, we'll get sold and we'll double. So that's I applaud companies that aren't in it for the short term. So
well, and I think what's interesting is that I've seen this happen many times now. So where they were sold to a private equity firm, HGGC, who I've never heard of. And I got a buddy who's a CEO of a small division of a company where they've gone out and they've made all these acquisitions in the educational space. And they're just doing roll-ups. So they've got a vision of where they think this is going to be. In the education space for technology. And I'm sure that's what this HGGC said. So, hey, big data is going to be a big deal and predictive analytics, and there's an interesting spin, but it's a feature. So now we need this company and we need that company and we need, so they'll acquire 5, 6, 8 companies and roll them up into one overall solution. And I would bet my bottom dollar that's what this is.
Mm-hmm. Also in the world of purchases and acquisitions, looks like Capella has said, "Hey, look, that Prime Academy is doing pretty well." So,
oh, really? What did they do?
They bought Hackbright Academy,
and it's a coding school, right?
A coding school
for women.
For women,
really? Women focused.
Yep. Yeah, $18 million, which interesting. Is great.
So. It's located out in San Francisco, it looks like.
Yep.
Well, so, you know, and you know what's interesting about this is last night at this GlitchCon rollout or launch, I had two completely separate conversations, and in both I was asking questions about, you know, what did you do to get in the business, and you know, what did you do to take your training and all of that. And one guy said that who's a successful developer. Said, well, you know what? I got my degree in video game design and development. He said, I thought it was a total waste. He said, I've learned more online in the last year than I did through all of my time getting my degree.
Oh, I think that's probably.
Yeah, I know. But there were two conversations.
You learn,
like
yes,
that.
You learn a lot online, but yeah. I think it still starts in the classroom.
So. Of course. Because you have to have your foundation.
Yes.
But the point is that online education is just, I mean, it's exploding. In fact, I talked to a kid who was, I would bet this kid was 13 or 14 at the most. And he's just this teeny little guy. I mean,
right.
He was like 90 pounds. And he was just, you could just tell he was a bright light. And he was asking all these questions, and one of the things, and I said, "So, are you developing anything?" And he goes, "Yes." He said, "I'm working on my third game for iOS." And I said, "Well, what language are you using?" He said, "I'm on Swift." And he said, "I said, well, how'd you learn Swift?" And he goes, "I just read everything, and I did stuff online, and I just learned how to do it, and then I just started building stuff, and I figured it out."
Wow!
Yeah, no kidding.
Not bad.
So where's this kid going to be in 2 years or 3 years? And
yeah. Figured it out. Okay.
But online education, you know, the having the availability of all this courseware online is huge. I'm sure Capella is looking at this and going, you know, geez, we really need to have a competitive advantage in this, in the tech space. So good move.
Very cool. Very cool.
Well, hey, I just added something.
What?
And that is a link to a Minnesota Business article about a Twin Cities tech entrepreneur who's launched a new video series about tech execs, and he's going out and he's interviewing them. It's called Lead by Change, and he's interviewing in this particular episode, we'll put a link in the show notes, to a guy who's founder of Betterment, a woman who's the editorial director of Upworthy, and a guy from Tiny Bop, have you ever heard of Tiny Bop?
Nope.
Infinite Arcade, dream, design, and play your own video games.
Sure.
So whatever. But I did not know that his name's Jeff Martin, that he had a Seinfeld-inspired series. You know, Jerry Seinfeld does that comedian Cars with Coffee, which I love. And this Jeff Martin started something called Driving Change, where he was driving around interviewing tech execs in his black Prius like I have. And so he had cameras on the dash, and he's going around interviewing people.
So are you telling us something here?
Say that again.
Do you have a GoPro on your? Do you have a GoPro on your Prius now? And you're going to?
I do not, but you need two.
You're going to start your own. You start your own series.
Probably not.
Steve driving around in his Prius.
Why not?
No.
Yeah, you know, I can see you're geared up to tease me, Tim, and. That's just,
well, you know, I've been saving it up for 2 weeks.
Well, all I can say is that there's nothing that makes a better babe magnet than a Toyota Prius.
Indeed.
Oh man, But I should say, when my kids were little, we had the limousine of minivans, Chrysler Town and Country. And my wife, when we bought that, she goes, "Look, I'm just telling you, I'm never driving it." I go, "Yeah, but it's a leather interior and the whole thing, and you know, we could get all the kids and all their friends in there and."
Yeah, we had one of those.
And she's like, "I'm never ever setting foot in that. I'm never driving it." And it's like, okay, but talk about a babe magnet. Oh man, being a 40-year-old guy driving a minivan, there's nothing hotter. What do you think, Phil?
I think Phil has dropped off.
No, Phil, I still see him there.
Phil has keeled over. Oh, well.
Mr. Phil.
Oh, he's on mute. So maybe he had some business to attend to.
I see. I see. All right.
So we can talk about how Apple is screwed now.
Well, you know, so for those listening, you obviously know that Apple released their earnings on Tuesday, and they had a decline in year-over-year iPhone sales, which led to the first revenue decline in 13 years for Apple.
Yep, and, it's all over. They're done.
You know, at some point, people, I mean, everybody's got to realize, they think, oh my God, this is horrible. Apple's going to go out of business, et cetera, et cetera. But the kicker is that it's not like they can sell a phone to every person on the planet and then sell them two more.
Right.
You know, I mean,
well, I mean, put it in perspective, their revenue was almost $51 billion.
Right.
And the iPhone, where they're having the critical problem, they did like $33 billion in iPhone sales.
Right.
So their biggest problem is that they're so dependent on the iPhone. It's so much of their revenue and profit that when it starts to slow down, it's a problem for the company. Right. You know? And this article that you've put in there from the Guardian talks about the decline in the Chinese market and the flop of the Apple Watch and whatever. But, you know, they've still got so much money and they're generating so much cash that they can go on for, you know, hundreds of years at this rate, you know?
Yeah.
And still be fine.
Right.
You know? So.
Gentlemen.
So I wouldn't be all.
Can you hear me?
Worried about this? Yes, of course.
Yes, where did you go? Back.
I don't know. I'm sorry about that. My apologies. My system just kind of went kablooey on me.
Well, we were commiserating that we really liked Apple while they had a good run, and
you're putting the coffin together right now.
Yeah, now that it appears that they're done, you know, we'll just.
Carl Icahn is selling his entire stake, and
well, Carl Icahn's kind of an idiot. But anyway, that's, you know,
right.
I don't think it's time to bail on Apple by any means. But
no,
but I did. I was kind of curious how Steve was feeling about that, because I know he's very proud of his Apple stock.
No, I'm not proud. I'm happy.
yeah. Happy.
So, I am.
Anyway, but yeah, no, I don't believe the world is coming to an end.
Right.
Do you guys?
Okay.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No, there's too much opportunity going forward, and they're sitting on too much of a cash hoard. But there is discussion about how there's a very good likelihood that Apple will start really making a lot of acquisitions. So that'll be good.
You know what's really interesting is that the same time that Apple is having, you know, had this bad quarter comparatively, Amazon has its most profitable quarter. Which is kind of,
I think, coincidence.
You be the judge.
I don't think Amazon doesn't sell any Apple stuff, do they?
I don't know, to tell you.
I don't think they do. I think that they stopped selling them for, I forgot what reason, but there was some reason years ago. Huh. I think there are people that use Amazon as their back end, and do sell Apple stuff, but by and large they don't.
Right.
So, interesting. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever bought anything Apple on Amazon. Though I have been spending a lot of time on Amazon lately. So,
yeah,
so have I.
But
unfortunately,
I thought that was interesting, that the sort of the yin and the yang. So I don't think we've got a tech bubble by any means. But I didn't. I guess I didn't check this week. I'm sure you guys did, Steve. How did stocks do overall? They're off.
Things are still marching along. But I have been reading some articles recently about the end of the American oligarchy. You know, articles like that, and how it's a house of cards, and
of course,
you know, there's things like that. I mean, you know, it's the old sky is falling, and I don't know what other country to bet on. You know, if you're gonna invest and buy stocks, but it's that's a rat hole. Let's not get into
definitely,
it. Let's
instead, definitely don't,
right.
Yeah. Definitely don't think it's China. So let's just
probably not.
Well, let's instead
mention that
Amazon had their most profitable quarter ever.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, that's what you just said. Yeah,
I was just talking about that, Steve.
Right.
I didn't hear you say that.
What? Just talking yeah, about
just
Amazon.
Kidding. I'm just kidding. You know what? In all seriousness,
did we whip into a vortex there for a minute, Steve?
In all seriousness, you know, they have lost money for so long, and now turning a $513 million profit is a really big deal for them. And but you know, with their operating costs going up, does that mean that you know, they're going to eventually go back into loss mode?
Oh, I don't know.
No,
I don't know. It's going to be, you know, time will tell, I guess.
But yeah,
I think they'll be all right. So,
well, when I think about people like Bezos and Elon Musk from Tesla, I just think these are.
You had those guys over for dinner the other night, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking tech strategy.
Right.
Yeah.
Me and Elon were hanging the other day.
Elon.
Yeah, and he was asking me, you know, if I was interested in going, you know, getting in one of the rockets.
Yeah, right.
And flying. But
yeah. Right. So you could be like the most interesting man on in the world with, you know,
I could be.
And go to Mars.
That's right.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Steve. You were saying.
Well, no, all I was going to say was the fact that these are guys who you know, people are lamenting the fact that Steve Jobs is gone and that there isn't an entrepreneur like him. And I'd say, no. I mean, look at Jeff Bezos, a guy that travels out to Seattle because Ingram Micro, the book distributor, is based there. And he starts Amazon and uses them as the fulfillment center to start. And look at where they are now. I mean, it's just amazing. Look what Elon Musk has done. Look what he continues to do. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it is too. Anyway. So, well, anyway, let's talk about another subject. You know, Amazon had the most profitable quarter ever.
Oh, you are
really?
Such a kidder. You are such a kidder. Now, let's talk about how the Minivate Gang podcast
is now available
on Google Play Music, which has podcast support for both Android and the web.
Yay.
And so maybe that's why our show count is going up.
So they don't
everywhere. We're everywhere.
They don't do iOS yet?
Not Google Play, because Apple's doing that.
No, but Google Play Music is cross-platform. They have an iOS version for Play Music.
Oh, I don't know if it's available or not on there.
Interesting. I bet it is. I bet it is.
I bet it is.
And so if you have an iOS device, you can listen on Google Play Music. I don't know why you would, but you could.
You could.
It's possible.
So look, just click that handy link in the show notes for today's podcast, and you'll be directed right to Google Play Music and the Minivate Gang podcast.
There you go.
I know, but if
all the kids are doing it,
yeah. If you are a high tech god like you know some of us that use Android, then it's very convenient to use Google Play Music.
Yes, it is
to listen to your podcast. Although I use Pocket Catcher, which still I think is the best podcast client for the Android platform.
Yeah.
Well, and I prefer Instacast on iOS.
iOS. Well, iOS has a lot of different ones. I kind of like that one that Marco Arment did.
Overcast.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like it too. I don't know. Well, anyway.
But it's not available to get used to something. On Google Play Music.
There you go.
Right.
And I stuck this one in because I thought, you know, it's a milestone and we need to you know, put the laptop desktop, you know, into the grave. It's all over.
These numbers look hinky to me. I think that's a research term. Hinky.
Yeah, they look hinky. Why do they look hinky?
Well, I, you know, just the end of last year, you know, desktop use was up. Was growing along with mobile, and now it's down. You know, it's just like
It crashed the end of last year.
Well, but before that, it had one of its strongest months, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Well, like the middle, like this time last year, it was. Yeah, it was up 15%.
Well,
since then, it's been on a downward trajectory, and it's a little popped up a little bit, but it's still under. So they're saying it's over this period. Yeah. The desktop/laptop period is done.
No, they're just asking the question: has desktop internet use peaked? This is ComScore data for those listening. Yep. We should put that into context, and they're basically showing a graph about how Desktop internet use dipped 9.3% in December, 7.6% in January, and then 2% February, 6% March, and that, you know, it's just not looking good. But, you know, what's interesting is when I think about my own behavior and that of my family members, I do in December, because there is so much more freedom, it seems, you know, just in terms of mental freedom, you know, you're doing more wrap up for the year and so on. I spend a lot of time on my iPad, and I'm sure it's the same way with others, where you're spending, you're at people's homes or you're out and you're on your phone or you're on your tablet. And I would say that would probably skew things a little bit, but there are just more total devices that are mobile. So,
yep.
Anyhow.
I don't think it's over yet.
Nah, I don't either.
Oh, okay.
I don't either. Tim, what are you using right now for this podcast?
I'm using a computer.
See, there you go.
It's a desktop computer. It's a Mac Pro.
See?
So there you go.
So you're on a desktop.
No, I use a desktop. I'm old school though.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm on my Radio Shack TRS-80.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Sounds good for that.
It is.
It's not bad. Let's talk cool things of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil.
Okay. I put this in here. I know we've talked about Ring before, because I think Steve put it on one week when he got a Ring. But I decided I put it back on, guys, simply because I picked up a Ring, but they've got now the Ring Pro, if you want to check this out.
So what makes it a Pro?
It's got a different look design to it. It's hardwired.
It's not as wide.
And it's not as wide. It's got interchangeable face plates. It's, again, I think the biggest thing is hardwired. 1080p HD, night vision, that sort of a thing. So,
and the night vision was awesome in the existing one, where I, you know, of course I'm mad because I just bought mine and now it's like, shit, now there's a brand new one. But the other thing too is on their website, we'll put a link in the show notes here to the Pro, you'll see an animation there of a GIF of the motion zone that you can set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people think, well, so what does that matter? Well, once you start getting notifications when a garbage truck drives by,
yeah,
you know, if your front door faces the street, which is about 99% of all front doors,
which makes it a front door. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, your ability to really custom narrow the motion zone is going to save a lot of notifications. And it's, trust me when I say it'll matter.
Yep.
Especially in the wintertime, because it detects motion based on the heat signature. And so when a big truck drives by, of course they're hot, or a school bus or anything. Right. So having this motion zone, I'm probably going to buy a new one just because of that.
Really? You think so?
Maybe my daughter would like my other one.
Oh, there you go. So, regifting. Always a good choice.
How big is the original one? Cause you look at them side by side on the products page here and, it looks like it's double the size.
It is.
Wow.
It overhangs my the strip around the door.
It kind of looks like the HAL 9000 computer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so I'm going to affix it to my pod bay door.
I'm sorry, Steve, I can't answer the door right now.
That's right. Well, what I think is cool is I have this, and then I also have a my Chamberlain to open my garage door remotely. So if somebody comes to the front door, like my sister... And she's, because the other day she was going to drop something off and she goes, well, should I just leave it on the front step? And I'm talking to her through the doorbell because I'm not home. Right. And I said, well, you know, geez, I wish because the keypad for the garage, the code's not working. Well, now I could just say, well, you know what? Let me open the door for you. And I just open the door and then let me know when you're out and I'll shut it. And and she'll send me a note and say, okay, I'm gone now, and boom, we're done.
Bang.
So this is after she snuck in the house though and unlocked the front door so she can go in there and steal all our stuff. No, I'm kidding.
Steal all our stuff.
Notice I didn't say which sister, so now they can't.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They can't blame
me. Exactly. So that's my cool thing of the week.
Okay.
So it's sort of a cool thing of the week pro. Yeah. So it's really not really new.
Tim,
go ahead.
Nice. Okay, this is the point where Phil rolls his eyes.
Oh.
Because I'm going to talk about one of these drag and drop app builder things called Bubble.
Blah, blah.
And I've been kicking around with it. I'm going to do a couple projects. It's very interesting. It's like the Holy Grail sort of thing that Steve and I have been looking for years, sort of a hyper card for building mobile apps.
Oh, really?
And it's very addictive and it's interesting. It looks like it has a lot of potential. So.
Huh.
Okay. So I'm going to be building some apps, and maybe there'll be an app to discuss and another cool thing of the week built with Bubble.
There you never know. Are you going to start with a fart app? That's usually the best place to start.
No, I thought I would start appropriately with the Minivate Gang app.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool. Nice idea. Nice.
/ podcast player.
Ooh.
It does. There you go.
Very cool. Very nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I'll look forward to it.
So you may see that as a future cool thing of the week for me. You never know.
I like
nice.
It.
Nice.
Very. All right. So anyway, you can now stop rolling your eyes.
That's all right. I was never there was a minor eye roll, but still.
All right, Steve.
Well, so mine is a product that I think is discontinued. It's the Logitech Keys to Go Bluetooth keyboard for iPad. Hmm. And it's not just for iPad. I've actually been using it with my Apple TV. I've got it paired to both devices. And the thing weighs, I swear it weighs like, 0.3 ounces. I mean, it's just super light. And the keys work really well. And honest to God, I flipped the thing on in handshakes in about 12 seconds, and it's done. And it's changed my life. I was going to go buy for the new iPad Pro, I didn't like the cover with the keypad. The keypad is just too narrow for me. And this thing is perfect. And
you can get a red one for only $30.
No wow, thanks. You can.
Isn't that crazy? I kind of like the red one. It kind of looks cool.
It's kind of bitching.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, and the teal is only $36.
Yeah, the teal, I don't know. That's if you're in Miami and you like the Dolphins, get that one. But
yeah,
for up here, that red looks good.
Keyboard is fabulous, and it has keys, function keys at the top to go back to the home screen to then hit and show all your apps so you can swipe through them. And I mean, it's I'm telling you.
So it looks like from the picture, it looks like chiclet style keys. Is the throw on the keys, are they comparable to say a MacBook? How far the new MacBook keys travel?
Yeah, kind of. It's all if you spill something on this, you can just wipe it off because they're it's all sealed. And yeah. And the keys do have a nice travel.
Oh, okay.
I was pretty amazed.
Hey guys, take a look at I always try to always Google for the best Bluetooth keyboard, say for example, and this one comes up as being rated pretty high. But there's also another Logitech available that was a little less expensive. It's called the Logitech K380 Bluetooth keyboard. So you might want to take a peek at that one too, Steve.
Wow.
So it's a little bit less expensive. Seems to have about the same rating from Amazon and Amazon users. So,
well, I do know this keyboard. They carry it at Best Buy if you want to go see it.
Oh, cool.
It is. It's very hard. I mean, it's a pretty solid unit.
Good.
And the kicker with this one, though, is that it's a general purpose one, so you don't have the iPad function keys set up. But also, it's fairly heavy.
It doesn't look like there's really any function keys at all on it, is there?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, there it is.
Haroom. Very nice.
So there's a couple of new events on here.
Yes.
There's a Big Data Tech 2016 put on by Mini Analytics on June 7th at Normandare College. And then there's another one if you are in government.
Government.
Minnesota Digital Government Summit on August 7th at the St. Paul River Center. And this is actually going to be a big deal. And it was kind of ironic that this morning, as I was poking around digital government, since I had put this on here, I went to two different websites for Minnesota government-related technology stuff, and both of them were down. One of them had an ASP error message, and the other one had you know, some database call couldn't be made or whatever. I thought, yeah, it's kind of ironic that somebody's not there to monitor it, so both the sites went down.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they need to go to this summit.
Yeah. So what will probably be something happening also this week, and I think we should probably talk about it on
the Minivate Gang podcast.
Have a good week.
Take care.